Good afternoon. It's an honor and a privilege to be your speaker. We have such a nice crowd, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak. If you don't know me, my name is Isaac Moreno, and I am from the congregation in Oakdale, California, currently laboring with the Church of Christ in East Auburn in Northern California. I've greatly benefited from the sermons thus far, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity once again. My question for this evening, or for this afternoon, is, how shall a young man cleanse his way? And we'll be coming from Psalm 119 and verse 9. So to begin with, we'll read the verse. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Before we get into the psalm and what it means or the verse, what we want to do first is look at the structure of the chapter we're going to be studying. The 119th chapter of the book of Psalms has 176 verses within it. It's got 22 stanzas. Each stanza has 8 verses. Now, this is written in an acrostic style. An acrostic, if you don't know, it's okay. Neither did I before I said this. An acrostic is like an acronym. An acronym such as the one JOY. Jesus over yourself. The first letter of each letter stands for one whole word. Enjoy. Jesus over yourself. That's an acronym. An acrostic is where the first word of every verse in a stanza begins with the same letter. If you notice in your Bible, in the first verse, right before the first verse, it might have the Hebrew letter Aleph. That's the Hebrew letter A. There are 22 stanzas within this psalm because there are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. When we read it in English, it's not going to have 8 at every verse at the beginning, but that's what it was aimed to do in Hebrew. So when we find ourselves in this section, we find ourselves in Beth. That's the letter B. So this is a little bit about the psalm and the structure of it. Now, scholars disagree with who wrote the psalm. Some people believe it was King David. Some people say it was Ezra or even Daniel. Regardless of who wrote the letter, or who wrote the psalm, rather, the point is clear. The whole purpose of the psalm is to glorify and magnify the perfect word of God. And that is why the Hebrew writer, the psalmist, he uses 8 stanzas. He goes through each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, because the perfect Hebrew alphabet, every letter deserves to speak of the word of God, the perfect word of God. And like I said, this chapter highlights and magnifies the all-sufficiency of the word. The word of God guides us in our youth and guards us through life. It lifts us in our trials and leads us in triumph. It instructs us in service and keeps us from sin. It is the light of our day that keeps us from the darkness of our night. According to the psalmist, he goes on to say, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The main teaching from this passage is that the word of God is the medicine for the Christian. It is what the Christian uses to apply to their life, to cleanse their life from all sin, wickedness, and filthiness of the flesh. James would say in James 1, verses 22 through 25, the word of God is like a mirror. A wise man, he looks into the mirror, which is the word of God. He applies it to his life. In Ephesians 5, the apostle Paul would say, it is the word of God that sanctifies and cleanses the bride of Christ, the church. So thus we see the word of God is to cleanse us, and it is for us. And with this in mind, this is the exact same command that Paul would give the brethren in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says this. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We can start to see the intensity in the Word of God. With God, it's all or nothing. He commands us to fill ourselves with the Word of God. Not 25%, not 50%, not 75%, but 100%. He wants everything. We're supposed to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and all of our strength. We cannot cleanse ourselves unless we first do this. We first go to his Word. After we go to his Word, we use it, we apply it, and it is what cleanses us. We must be filled with the Word of God so that we can serve God, but also so that we do not sin. The back half of verse 10 and verse 11 focuses on another clause, another statement, another idea. Within these verses, you can hear the psalmist's deep faith and his deep fear of disappointing God. He prays to God, "Oh, that I may never leave your word, for it saves me and it cleanses me." And he prays that he never leaves it. And we ought to pray the same thing today. He says he hides God's word in his heart so that he does not sin. And that's the exact same thing Jesus did while in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was faced with temptation, three times he was tempted, three times he responded, "It is written, it is written, it is written." The Word of God is the weapon for the Christian. It is the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. It is the sword, not a physical one, a spiritual one, because we're in a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. But because some scholars believe that David was the author of the psalm, I would like for us to go to the end of our study, or the rest of our study, and a story in the life of King David. Many of us know of the giant that David slayed, but many of us are not so familiar with the giant that slayed David. That giant was named Sin. And for just a little while, we want to look at the story with King David with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'm trying to get used to this setup. I'm usually over here where I'm at in my home congregation, so bear with me. Verse 1, the Bible says, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house." All I want to do for the rest of our time together, we just want to go through these next four verses. We've already read them. Now we're just going to dissect them and take away the proper meaning from each verse. In verses 1 and 2, we learn of a special problem. Each of these problems or highlighted notes we're going to take has to do with a part of sin, overcoming sin so that we can cleanse our way, as the psalmist said. The first problem that occurred was that of accessibility. Accessibility. What we mean to get from here is that sin's accessible. It's everywhere. It's anywhere. You can do it with anyone and everyone. In fact, you don't even need someone to be with you to sin. We could do it by ourselves. By the things we say, by the things we do, even by the things we think. Sin is accessible. Well, this sin was no doubt accessible in the life of King David. He is the top man. He's the top dog. He's the king of the kingdom. And he goes out, and this woman, he sees her. Whatever he wants, he gets. He goes out and He sees Bathsheba as she's bathing on the top of the house, on the roof. Now, that might be extremely crazy for us just to even accept or understand. Why is she on top of the house bathing? Why didn't she go somewhere else? Back in that day and time period, it was culturally acceptable to bathe on the top of the house because that's where the rainwater was. That's where you collected the rainwater to bathe. Number two, you would get more privacy on the top of the house than inside the house. Well, David's up there. He's on top. He's literally on top of the kingdom. He's looking down. He can see anyone and everyone. He's got access. He's got all the channels. He's got everything. Free of charge. And he goes there. And this is where the sin starts to fester in his heart. The temptation starts to fester in his heart. The first problem in this story is where David was and where he was not. This was the day or the time when kings of Israel went out to war. He did not go out to war. He was out there in the kingdom. He was in the kingdom, in the palace. He was sleeping all day, relaxing, while his men were serving him and sacrificing themselves for him. We as Christians can learn a valuable lesson. Usually when sin starts or when sin takes occasion in our lives, there's something we ought to be doing that we're not doing. The Apostle Paul would talk about sin in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. He would say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." First way to avoid sin, fill our schedule. Have a strict structure to the day. Have a routine. Don't have idle time. Do what we're supposed to be doing. If we're supposed to be at school, go to school. If we're supposed to be at work, go to work. When we're away from work, study the Bible, do your homework, do whatever it takes that's profitable, that will help us avoid sin. The second problem was this. David saw the woman, but he stayed and he stared. He liked what he saw. He found her to be very beautiful, and he couldn't just stop looking at her. He kept thinking about it, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. James teaches us the progression of sin in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." It brings forth death. So David let this foster and fester in his heart until it developed, till he sinned. Well, the question we got to ask ourselves is, how do we avoid sin today? We avoid the rooftop. We avoid the housetop. The problem with us is that the rooftop is the whole world. The whole world, the things we don't want to do, it's in front of us everywhere. It's in every commercial. It's in every movie. It's in all the songs. And that's what entices us to sin at times. In psychology, we can take a lesson from what they instruct their patients. They instruct their patients to learn your triggers. A trigger is anything that can get you just like this to sin. Well, that's the Christian application of that. So if there's anyone, if there's a single place or a person that tempts us to sin, we can't be there. We should not be there. We need to leave. We have to know our triggers spiritually. We have to be careful of what we allow ourselves to see, because for what we see affects how we think, and how we think affects what we do, and what we do affects who we are. Jesus warned us about what we watch and look at in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. The Bible says there, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" We need to be careful with what we look at, is the point. where we are, what we do, and what we allow ourselves to see. The second problem in this story comes from verse 2. Not only did he have the access to sin, there was an affordability to sin. Affordability was not a problem for David. He's the king of Israel, and who can say no to him? There's nothing out of his reach. He saw this woman, she's beautiful, I want her, he's going to get her, is the point. When it comes to our lives, the same truth can also be said. It does not cost much money to sin. You don't have to go to a special place. It can happen in here in our minds, is the point. It can happen in our minds. There are plenty of sins that are free of charge to commit. These are cheap sins, we might say, but we cannot afford them. We cannot afford them. For the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible continues this story. Not only was there an affordability, David actually had some accountability. In verse 3, the Bible says, he goes to a servant, an unnamed guy. He goes to him and he asks him, who's that woman over there? I like her. I want her. And David's servant, he's kind of got to walk a fine line. He's a servant. In other words, he's a nobody. David's the king. If he approaches David in a negative way, David could just have him killed like that. So he says, well, you know, that's the daughter of Eliam. In other words, David, that's someone's daughter. You want to rethink how you're thinking about her, how you're lusting for her. She's someone's daughter. Number two, that's someone's wife, Uriah the Hittite. Now, we know how the story goes. This was not enough for King David. He didn't care. He just took her. Now, in our lives as Christians, we need people that we respect, that are faithful, that are strong, that are our accountability buddies. These are the kind of friends that they don't tell you what you want to hear. They tell us what we need to hear. And back in Oakdale and over the Brotherhood, I've got a few of these brethren. Brethren such as Wade Branch, Zach Miller, Brother Aaron Batty in Tennessee. These are guys that they tell me the very difficult truth. Isaac, you sinned there. You gossiped. You should not have said that about that person. You're wrong. And these are people, these are friends, these are kinds of people we all need, no matter how young or how old in our spiritual walk. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We don't need yes men. We need brethren who are going to tell us when we're wrong, to tell us to repent and to stop from our sin. The last factor in David's sin we're going to look at is in verse 4, and that is he thought he had anonymity. Anonymity. This is the idea where, well, you know what? I'm just going to go sin. This is just between me and God. No one's going to know about it. I'm just going to remain anonymous. What we learn in this story, sins don't stay between us and God. It will affect everybody that we come into contact with. David got word. Uriah was coming to town. Bathsheba's pregnant. He's got to fix this problem. And as we know the story, he chooses to kill Uriah to cover his sin. One thing we learn in this story, another thing, is that all sins will be exposed. David thought this was between him and God only. Between himself only. Nobody else knew about it. But God knew about it. The Bible says in verse 27, and when Bathsheba's mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house. And she became his wife and bore him a son. Watch this. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. God knew about it when David didn't think so. God knew about it. And the same can be said for us. One of the sons that David would have with Bathsheba, Solomon, would say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all, For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, I want to explain this verse by way of analogy. I used to play football. And back in football in high school in Oakdale, California, we'd watch film. You'd watch film all the time. We watched film during lunch. We watched film after school. And I can remember how this was. If you had a good game, you walked up, your chest was puffed out, you walk in, you want to sit in the front of everybody because you want everybody to see, I made that play, I had that highlight and that highlight. But if you had a bad game, you walk in late, it's the summer, you have a hoodie on, you got the hoodie on, you're in the back, you're on Twitter, you're not trying to look at anything. You don't want to get exposed. And Coach Merzon, he did a good job. He never let me get away with it. He let us have it, as you could say. So we'd be in there, and I would just hope, man, I hope he doesn't bring that up. And sure enough, it'd be in there. It'd be in there. This is how the day of judgment's going to be. In our highlight film reel of life, there are some days we don't want on the film. There are some plays we don't want on the film. We will fall in the same way David did if we think God's the only... No one's gonna know about this, not even God, because God will expose everything. Everything. And we all have a secret place. Some of us, it's our house when no one's there. Some of it, of us, it's our mind. And we don't think people know about it. But God makes clear he knows the hearts of all men. He knows what we do everywhere. There is nothing hidden. Nothing will be hidden from his sight. Everything will be exposed in the day of judgment. So in our short time together, we've looked at a few things. We've noticed this. A young man, all men everywhere, cleanse their way by heeding the word of God. Not just knowing it, but doing it. How can we prevent and eliminate sin and lessen it in our lives? Don't go to the places or to the people that make it accessible. Realize that sin is not affordable. It'll cost us everything. We will go to hell if we are found lost. We need to have accountability people in our lives, people to go to who will help us. And lastly, the sinner will not remain anonymous. It will be exposed in the day of judgment. But praise be to God that a future Savior from the seed of David would come, according to the word of God, and he would give a way for all of us to be cleansed from our sins. And his name is Jesus Christ. Thank you for your kind attention.